We're going to begin with the scripture and out of the book of Galatians. Now, this goes along with our 4th of July and our freedom and our celebration that's coming up Wednesday. How many likes the 4th? I really like the 4th. I don't know why. It was ingrained into my life as a kid. My grandfather, sailor. James William Sailor. I'm named partially after him, partially after two other grandpas, but he loved the 4th of July. We always had peach soda, knee-high, and grape, and orange, and strawberry, and probably cola, but at that time, I was really into that peach soda. Still am, and I have a whole case for the 4th of July. I don't know if anybody's going to be around to enjoy it, but I asked Jake, do you like peach soda? He said, no way. So, but we were taught to respect the 4th of July and the country. And I'm so glad that that's something that we really appreciate. There's a lot of fireworks which are absolutely illegal. And I am not promoting you to do anything illegal. Years ago, people would have so many gun salute, 13 gun salute representing the 13 colonies. And then it got a little bit bigger with the 50 states. And so that was a big boom, right? And there's a lot of ways of celebrating, but we want to at least to remember those who had the wisdom and the that followed God's plan. I believe with all of my heart, America is God ordained, and starting with the pilgrims and then growing up into what we were so quickly, it's amazing. So we're thankful. The scripture says in Galatians 5:1, and I understand that Paul is doing battle with people who wanted to say, okay, you can be a Christian and accept the grace of Jesus Christ, but you also have to obey the law. And Paul was one of the strictest members of the law, promoting the law before he was saved. But once he was saved, he realized the law served its purpose. It was done. It was fulfilled in Christ. And to go back to the law would be going backwards. So Paul says, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Version, it said in verse 1, it was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery, which you were once removed. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, as is maybe a paraphrase of the King James and the New King James. Lord, we pray blessing upon your word. And we pray today, Lord, that you will touch every one of our hearts. We celebrate freedom in you. We celebrate freedom from sin and the oppression of Satan. And we pray for victory and a celebration every day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we celebrate for our country, that you'll bring a peace and a power and a revival. I pray that there'll be a revival of people turning their hearts back to you. And Lord, that you'll take away the confusion and the strife that's in this country because of sin and because of ignorance. And I pray, Lord, for your light to shine and people to behold your light and accept it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Congress, July the 4th, 1776, I don't expect any of you were there. We have no eyewitnesses. But we know from history the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this to the separation. This is the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. And if you're familiar with that document, I'm not reading it all. So we're just going to read another couple of lines. We behold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And I'm going to stop right there. You can pick this up online and finish it. Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. Independence Day, or July the 4th, has been celebrated since 1776, and in different ways in different places celebrated more. Carnivals, parades, barbecues, fairs, picnics, family reunions, baseball games. How many remember playing baseball on the 4th? We used to do that. We came one year in 1988 from Texas, and we were visiting here, and some people were wearing coats on the 4th of July. When we went back to Texas, it was already in the month of August, and no one was wearing a coat. Coats wouldn't be worn for another 2 or 3 months because it was hot there. But the celebration of the 4th takes all kinds of forms, and it's generally because of mostly warm weather. Everybody's outside and enjoying all that is to be free and to belong to a country that that allows us this freedom. And not worry about, we have laws, and I am all for laws. But freedom, and without the law, there is no freedom. There is no freedom. People speak of, and I'm talking about the laws of our country, not the law of bondage of the Old Testament. I'm talking about, we have laws, and they need to be absolutely observed. And because of those laws and because of people getting along with those laws, we have freedom. The our founding fathers got together and they made a declaration that they were going to separate from the British Empire, which was a huge, huge presence, empire at that time. Thomas Jefferson was one of the principal authors of the Declaration of Independence with a group of 5 people. He came up with this. John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail, the second day of July 1776. Now he's off by 2 days because it took him 2 days to get together on it. How many understands that? When Congress gets together, they have to get it adjusted, right? And it said that will be the most memorable epoch in history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as a great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Whoa! Now we're talking about a politician and not a preacher. Now, it's hard for some preachers to talk this way, and politicians seem to be so far removed. But John Adams continued, it ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of the continent to the other from this time forward forevermore. Isn't that neat? Isn't that a neat little piece of history? And of course, the 4th of July has been celebrated, and different ways. Fireworks is a big thing, and our cities oftentimes will find a place and set off fireworks over water to where it's all safe. But we are blessed to be Americans. And when we look back at the history and the documents of our history, this declaration, the Constitution, the amendments, God has blessed this country. And a few years later, Abraham Lincoln would sign the Emancipation Proclamation, to where it says all are created equal, and he would make that absolutely sure. And we needed that to happen in our history. Debbie, would you like, Debbie's going to share with you. I called on her because she's been so good and coming up with things that just are amazing and wonderful.
Well, last Sunday night, we were getting ready for bed, and Jim said, I'd like for you to think about something for me, okay? You never know what's coming from him. And he said, I'd like you to write something about truth and liberty. And I thought, that's out of my wheelhouse. I'm not sure I can come up with anything, but I will pray. And I did. And as of Thursday morning, I had nothing except one little thought about truth. And I jotted it down on my notebook, and I prayed, Lord, if you have something for me to talk about, you're going to have to knock me in the head with it because I've got nothing. 5:30 Friday morning, guess what? Wide awake, the whole thing just poured right out of my fingers onto the computer. So that's how the Lord seems to work. Truth and liberty. It's clear that our society's view of truth has changed. Parents seem to have abandoned their responsibility to teach truths, or maybe they themselves have stopped believing in them, to the point that it's evolved to a humanistic interpretation that's relative to one's culture, background, creeds, instead of an absolute. We were taught to always tell the truth, whatever the consequence. Honesty was the best policy. Truth always came straight from the horse's mouth. Truth is stronger than fiction. We accepted it as fact, and it was the basis for learning. Clarence Darrow said, "Chase after the truth, and you will free yourself, even if you never touch its coattails." Scripture has a lot to say about truth. Thy word is truth. The Spirit will lead us into all truth. 1 John 4:6 talks about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And those who know God can hear the truth, but those who don't know God cannot hear the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When our granddaughter was about 4 years old, we were at a restaurant for a family dinner, and she needed to go to the bathroom. I hope it's okay to talk about this for a four-year-old. I think so.
Which granddaughter?
Well, I'm not going to name names. Oh. She did give me permission, however. A year earlier, she'd had to have a surgery to correct a malfunctioning tube between her kidney and bladder. And it had left her with a very strong sense of urgency. So I knew that we had to move fast. But unfortunately, the bathroom was occupied. So here we were, and I tried to distract her while we were waiting. I asked her if she'd had fun that day at school, and she said no, she didn't. That a very, very sad thing had happened that day. Someone stole the dolly that stayed in the cradle in the playroom. I said, oh no, that's terrible. Who could do such a terrible thing? Don't they know that stealing is wrong, and now the other children won't have a dolly to play with? She agreed with me, and then she got very quiet and started to cry. She said, Grandma, it was me. I stole the dolly. Right then, our turn came. So we went in, I set her up on the potty, and I knelt down beside her, and I said, sweetie, do you know that stealing and lying are wrong? Yes. Do you love Jesus? Yes. You don't want to hurt Jesus? No. Well, when we do bad things, it hurts Jesus and it puts black sin in our hearts. Would you like to pray and say you're sorry and ask Jesus to take away the black sin in your heart? Yes. So right there, while she's on the potty and I'm kneeling down beside her in a public restroom, I led this little child through the sinner's prayer. I told her how proud I was that she had told the truth. And she told me that she would return the dolly. She was so thrilled and relieved of her guilt. We finished up and she ran back to the table and told everybody that Jesus had took black sin out of her heart. Well, of course, everyone at the table looked at me like I was nuts, but it was such a beautiful, teachable moment that truth always matters, because without truth, we can't have liberty. In June of 1998, I attended an immigration conference in Washington, D.C., and my sister Terry went with me. On the weekend before the conference, we drove to the Amish country in southern Pennsylvania, and we stayed at an original 1800s farmhouse turned to a bed and breakfast. I went back and dutifully attended the conference while Terry took daily tours and played all day. It was said to be a record heat wave for Washington, D.C. that summer. It was 105 degrees and above with very high humidity. The air conditioning in the conference room struggled, and on day three, it failed completely beyond repair, and they had no choice but to end the crowded sessions. That meant we had a few extra days to kill before our flight home. So being the adventurous sorts that we are, no, not really, we jumped on a train and we rode to New York City. It was a very brave thing for us to do. And yes, for those who know me very well, we were lost most of the time we were there, but we had so much fun riding those dilapidated open-air double-decker hop-on, hop-off buses with their entertaining guides. Clearly the highlight of the New York trip was seeing Lady Liberty standing in the harbor. She's beautiful, massive, and a symbol of freedom to the world. At the Ellis Island Immigration Museum, we poured through volumes of information about the 12 plus million immigrants who for 60 years she escorted to safety under her guiding light and her watchful eye. It was so moving and humbling to learn of the hardships that they had endured to breathe freedom. Inscribed on her base, you know the words, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We can't have liberty if we don't know the truth. Lee Greenwood wrote these beautiful lyrics. Song called Statue of Liberty. In New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky. And all who see her know she stands for liberty for you and I. I'm so proud to be called an American, to be named with the brave and free. I will honor our flag and our trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. But on lonely Golgotha stood a cross with my Lord raised to the sky, and all who kneel there live forever, as all the saved can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransomed and whole. As the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. Oh, the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty. God bless America.
Thank you. Praise God. That's why I have Debbie share, because she has a way that I don't have, and a good mind for writing things down, and I appreciate it so much. Debbie's used a lot of the scripture that I'm going to speak to you today, but how many can remember doing the Pledge of Allegiance? I love the Pledge of Allegiance. I think it's a wonderful thing. Perhaps in a moment we'll do that. But right now I want to go back to the Word of God, because we need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And then in John, I'm going to read several verses in the book of John. I'm not even going to leave this book. I'm going to stay right there through chapter 1, chapter 8, I think chapter 14, chapter 16, possibly, and chapter 8, 17 and 18. But the word in chapter 1, 14 says, "And the Word, which is Christ, became flesh and lived among us, and we actually saw His glory, the glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, the only one of His kind, who is full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception." Now, this "absolutely free of deception" is added by the Amplified Bible, but it is absolutely the truth. Our Lord and Savior came in truth. He is truth. He is, as we'll see in the next, in a couple of readings down, that He's the only way. And any truth that conflicts with Jesus is not the truth. So, I mean, people all the time have these ideas about issues. And they say, "Well, I feel." Number one, it doesn't matter what we feel. What matters is what the Word of God says and who Jesus Christ is. And it's always going to be the truth. You can absolutely count on that. Truth is important. And Debbie gave the illustration of our granddaughter who had a situation way back in, I can't even imagine, and I can't on the fly come up with a date. But I used to go to Boy Scout camp every year. We camped through the year close around. We'd go to Big Basin or up in Chabot Lake and camp out, and it was all good. But once a year, we'd go to a long-term camp for a week, and one of the camps was Camp Royonnais in Casadero, California, up out from Guerneville and Santa Rosa. I was with my dad, and I wanted to rent a canoe. I had a problem because I was a non-swimmer. Non-swimmers could not rent a canoe. So the guy said, "Well, what are you?" He said, "I don't have a..." We normally took a swimming test right at the beginning, and they marked it and sent it down to the boats. And I said, "Well, a swimmer, of course." And I was not. I told that man a lie, and I took about 3 steps, and the Lord brought conviction to me and said, "You want to get out there in a canoe and drown with that being the last thing you've done?" And I went back, and immediately I said, I lied to you. I'm not a swimmer. He said, "Well, you're going to have to take a rowboat then, because anybody could get a rowboat." And I thought of that because, I mean, conviction hit me so quickly, because truth matters to who we are as Christians. And we have no witness. I had a client one time, and she said, "Why don't you lie to the subcontractors and tell them you've got a better price so I can get a better price?" I said, "So let me get this straight. You want me to lie to them. Yes. And then I said, okay, then the next time I tell you something, what in the world are you going to be thinking about a guy that would lie to get you a better price? I said, I'm not lying to them, and I'm not lying to you, because it's not what I do. And, you know, people make up all kinds of excuses, folks. We have a one choice in serving the Lord, and that is, don't lie. Don't stay away from that, and stay with the truth, because then we identify with Christ. But not only that, but then we are free. We are free. Anything that's a lie, anything that's of sin is of bondage, and we're not associating ourselves with the Word that was made flesh. In John 8, 31 and 32, and Jesus was saying to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My Word, continually obeying My teachings and living in accordance with them, then, we pick up Jesus' words again, you are My disciples. And you will know the truth. This is a verse Debbie mentioned. You will know the truth. There are people that know about, and then there are people that know. There are people that are familiar with, and then there are people that are absolutely one with. And we have to be that people that's one with the truth regarding salvation. And then it says, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin, as added by the Amplified Bible. But the truth sets us free. And absolutely, we need to know that there is only one truth in this world. There's a lot of voices, a lot of different things people believe. And I know sometimes I hear people and they say, well, I believe. And I thought, doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is what the truth is. What does the Word of God say? We live in a time of fake news. I hate fake news. I see people doing news and I'm thinking, you're lying. Why in the world would I want to hear you? And then we have fake history, revisionist history, making it what they want. I tell you, there's no place. I would be willing to tell to make all the good reports I can of my high school teachers, because I believe with all of my heart, most of them were Christians, and they absolutely testified to that. My math teacher, my chemistry teacher, my biology teacher, my history teacher, all of these, I think they were all men teachers, but they gave testimony of God. What they taught us was as close to the truth as they could possibly find. And that makes a difference. There's even fake math now, and I don't know how that works. My head would explode trying to go a different way to get to, hopefully, the truth. But what we were taught, for the most part, was so truthful and so helpful, and it's been a blessing in my life. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way. I am the way. The only way, actually. The only way to God. And the real truth. And the real life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's no other way. You say, well, are you just saying that because we're in church? I'm saying that because it's the truth. Because Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth and the life. And it doesn't matter what schemes man comes up with, if they're not the truth, they're not going to work. And then you can put all the effort. And I've heard people say, oh, look at the passion they have. I don't care about the passion that people have about a lie or about something that's not true. Our country is under attack today. And little children can cry and we could throw away the whole Constitution. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I am sorry kids are sad, but there is a law that should stand for something, and people ought to, all people ought to be regarding that. That is a truth. But it's not about emotion. It's not about who it is that's upset, what's the matter. What it is about is there is a way. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way and he is life. In John 16 and verse 13, the verse says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." Isn't that amazing that there is a Spirit of truth? That is the Spirit of God. That is the Holy Spirit. And we believe that he is co-equal to God, co-existent, co-everything with God, co-powerful. He is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears. Does that mean the Holy Ghost doesn't know anything? Not at all. The Holy Spirit knows everything. But what he is doing is he is going to direct what he speaks and how he leads to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. That's his job, and he's doing it. From the Father, the message regarding the Son. That's added by the Amplified Bible. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Not only what is to come hundreds of years down the road, but what is to come tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit would make the plan of salvation real to the point that when someone feels conviction, the Holy Spirit's the convictor. And he's saying, boy, you need to realize that Jesus is your only way, your only hope, and that Jesus will not just cover sin like the old sacrifice, but remove sin. And you can actually have freedom in Jesus Christ. He'll disclose that to you. So we have Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. God is the truth. Verse 17, chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. I like this verse. You know, there are three things, there may be more, but there are at least three things that sanctify us. Here we see the Word of God sanctifies. What does that mean? It means set apart for the purposes of God and to be made holy. Sanctified. Sanctify them by the Word of God. We're sanctified by the blood and we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. But sanctified here by the truth, your word is truth. The whole Word of God, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is truth. And that is a sanctifying power in our lives. I'm going to read this last section of Scripture. It's found in John 18 and verse 37 through 38. It's an unusual, to me, an unusual exchange. Jesus before Pilate. And Pilate said to him, "Then you're a king?" How did he say it? I don't know. I wasn't there. I think he probably was cautious. Because Pilate wasn't seeing what the Jews were seeing about Jesus. He wasn't seeing it. He wasn't feeling it. Jesus answered, "You say," the word correctly is added by the Amplified Bible, "you say correctly that I am a king. This is why I was born. This is why he came from being God forever to this earth. And I have come into this world to testify to the truth." I think more accurately, I have come to be the truth. I've come to establish the truth. I've come that truth may set people free. "Everyone who is of the truth," added by the Amplified Bible, "who is a friend of the truth and belongs to the truth," back to the words of Jesus, "hears and listens carefully to my voice." Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice and they won't follow another." We know his voice. Pilate said to him, and this is added, this word is added by the Amplified Bible scornfully, what is the truth? Now I can see Pilate being sarcastic, and I can see him being frustrated because he was in between the Jewish leadership and the people and what's right. What is the truth? It's amazing. What is the truth? This question has been asked. When I was growing up in the 60s, was a big hippie movement. I remember sitting in a library with a young lady that was one of the smart kids. I was kind of like one of the getting by kids, middle of the line. I wasn't breaking any high level gates at all. And I was much more concentrating on sports and that kind of thing than even school. But the girl said, how do we know we're people? This is what we called a rap session back then, a rap session, where you get together and you talk. Oh, everybody's thought was a big thing. Here I am, fairly conservative, and thinking a lot of this is foolishness. And I'm thinking, this girl said, how do we know we're people and those ants over there on a roof aren't people and we're ants? And I thought, why in the world would you think something like that and then say it beside? We know that we're people because God created us to be people. He created ants to be ants, and I don't think I'm not going that way. I'm not going to become an ant. I know the stories of the ant boy, because Jake's been with us, and I saw that on TV yesterday, and Ant Man and all of that stuff. That's fine for TV, but in reality, in truth, we are people. And Jesus died to bring us the truth. When Pilate, after that, when he had said this, he went out to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. In other words, Pilate, he may not have known altogether the truth, but he knew enough to say, this man's not guilty of what you're charging him with. No crime, no cause for an accusation. But Jesus Christ went from there, from that judgment to the cross. And the truth is, he bled and died so that today we might know all together the whole story. As Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. We know it from the beginning till the end, and it includes the truth of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to his followers, you know the truth. You know the truth. You know Jesus. We know the backup and the amen to that through the Holy Spirit. We know from the Word of God, these things that are truth, that the truth will make us free. And don't mix anything with it. And by anything, I mean don't mix a little lie. There's a lot of people that want to add to the truth. The truth is good straight. Amen? It's good for us straight and not to try to change it up. Jesus spoke to the little lady at the well and said, God seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And then later on, he said, they that worship will worship in spirit and in truth. Isn't that amazing that the recognition that Jesus gives to the spirit and that the truth is so important to God? You can worship however you want, but it needs to be God's way. It's better served when it's in spirit and in truth. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I pray today that your word will be blessed. And Lord, not only as it has been spoken, but throughout this week that people will be touched by your word. Your word is absolutely the truth and absolutely the way to you who are the truth, and will be anointed and carried and blessed by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. I pray, Lord, that you'll make us strong because we know your word and because we believe your truth. I pray that you'll give us a discerning spirit that we know what is truth. Lord, that we know We know because of the way that the Spirit leads us. We don't have to flounder wondering what is truth. We're not as Pilate. We know you, we know truth. And Lord, we pray that that truth just be more founded in our hearts and lives, and that we be strengthened every day by that truth. Be with us, Lord. Bring your touch, bring your deliverance, bring your provision. And we honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. You see every heart and every life. And I pray today that you minister by your Spirit to every one of us, Lord. We need the encouragement. We need the blessing. We need the help. We want to lean on you, Lord. As we celebrate our country's birthday, we want to celebrate every day who you are and who you are in our lives. We bring you honor and we bring you glory. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Is there anyone here that needs prayer? Anyone at all? Would you stand? This is our American flag. It's hanging behind the speaker. Can you see it? Hands over our heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Praise God. And to the Lord, let's join our hearts in prayer. Lord, we pledge allegiance to our flag and to you. We pledge allegiance, Lord, to faithfully follow your word. I pray, God, today your strength in our lives, that you will bless. Lord, we just represent a part of our families. We pray that you'll bless all of our families. Lord, reach out into all of their lives and bring strength. There are some of our families that need salvation, and I pray, Lord, that you'll work a miracle in their spirit and bring them salvation. There are many that need healings and deliverances, and I pray, Lord, that you will touch them in that way. And Lord, that you will be within us today, Lord, a constant companion. And Lord, that truth will reign in everything that we do. I pray, Lord, your blessing and your strength. Bless everyone in their job. Bless everyone in what they do and the relationships. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch us. That, Lord, if there's someone that's really irritating right now, that you'll bring a peace and, Lord, a calm with that person. I know you're able to bring peace in every situation. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch every family and let there be perfect unity and blessing. And I ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.